Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 91. He's coming back. Guest minister Peter Cho and pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on September 1st, 2019.
On a Friday night, inviting a guest to speak on Sunday, but I did that this time. Many years ago, as we were growing up, my father had a friend from our church who brought a young Korean to our house because he had been a veteran of the Korean War. And he brought this young man to our house because he had accepted Christ on the in the course of the war there in Korea between the South and the North. And in those days, in the little town that I grew up in, Nebraska, there weren't very many foreigners ever came to the city. So we looked with curiosity about the culture and about the things and asked many, many questions of this young man who came to our house, Weejo Kong, and just learned some things about a part of the world that we didn't ever know. So anyway, it just brought back some of those memories when my friend Peter Cho, Pastor Peter Cho, came to our house on Friday night. I don't know how he found this place. Maybe he can explain to you how he found this place. But he came and knocked on the door, and he had an invitation for us to a special event, which he'll announce a little bit later. But in the course of our conversation, he shared with me some things from his life and from his ministry, some things that God had done in his life through the power of the Holy Spirit and through instruction of his leadership. And so I asked him if he would come back this morning and would share at least that story and maybe some other things that God puts on his heart this morning to share with us, because it really, really touched me deeply, the commitment and the dedication and the willingness to follow the Holy Spirit and to get breakthrough from the Word of God coming into your heart when Jesus is leading you in some directions that maybe are not so comfortable. So this is a church of missionaries. I guess you probably know that now. If you didn't know that before, now you know it. So if you come to this place, we're sending you out somewhere to go preach the gospel. Now, we're not saying don't come back, but we are sending you out because that's what we're supposed to do. Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, I'll be with you everywhere that you go. So I want to welcome Pastor Peter from Boston, from Good News Boston Church, and ask him to share his heart with you this morning, and then later on a special invitation to an event here in our city. So thank you for coming to our city. God bless you. We welcome you, and we're excited to hear about what God is sharing through you this morning.
God bless you all. I was a missionary in South Africa, and I picked up my English in Africa. So I say, they say their English is British English, but actually that's South African English. So I'm Korean, and I live in the United States, so I'll speak British style, African, Korean style, American English. So hopefully you can understand my English, all right? Let's open John chapter 8. Let's open John chapter 8, verse 1. I read until verse 11. John chapter 8, verse 1 until 11. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what saidest thou? This they said tempted him, and they might have accused him. But Jesus stood down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stood down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out on the other one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw now none but the woman, and he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I read until verse 11. It's been 7 years and a half since I am here in the United States. And I was a pastor. I was associate pastor in New York and Washington, D.C. And currently I'm in Boston. I would like to share one story first. It was about 4 years ago. My senior pastor in New York, he sent me one city in New York. The name of the city is Jamaica. Not the country Jamaica, but the city Jamaica in New York. Have you been in New York before? Not yet? Some of you, yes? It's totally different from here. I do like this place. When I went there, actually, Pastor told us like this. When you go to Jamaica in Queens, bring your Bible, but don't bring any money. Don't bring any food to eat. Without knowing anyone there, without knowing where to sleep. But don't even thinking to ask any help from people. Anything you need, you pray to God, and you go there and preach the gospel for 1 month. So my pastor sent me to Jamaica in Queens, New York, without having anything but the Bible. On that day, I thought myself, if I seek the kingdom first, God will add everything I need. Right? So what I did, I told my wife, Honey, you should go with me. So I brought my pregnant wife. And I brought an 8-month-old baby. And I brought 10 students from our church. With 13 people, we went to the city without having anything, without having any plan, but just the Bible. We went there right after I arrived. I start to regret. What am I doing here? Without having anything to eat, without knowing where to sleep. Oh, I have a pregnant wife here and I have a baby here. Where are we going to sleep tonight? And then that day I went out the street and started to preach the gospel. You know, do you think I was happy or not? I was preaching the gospel. Am I supposed to be happy or not? I'm supposed to be happy. So do you think I was happy or not? I wasn't. You know what? While I'm preaching the gospel, some people say, yes, this is true. This is really right. At the same time, I'm expecting for these people to say, hey, pastor, now I'm just about to eat something. What do you want to eat? I want to buy something for you. On that day, nobody asked me those kind of questions. While I'm preaching the gospel, nobody asking me that, pastor, where will you sleep tonight? Can you please come to my house and preach this gospel to my family? If it's too late, maybe you can sleep in my house. Nobody asking me that kind of things. I was preaching the gospel whole day, but we got nothing. Since my heart was far away from God, even though I was doing God's work, but I wasn't happy at all. Now it was evening. We have nothing. We have no place to go. Actually, we drove our 15 passengers van. So we all came back to our van. The thing is, it was July, very hot. New York is hotter than here and very humid. We couldn't turn on AC because no gas fee. We couldn't open window because there were a lot of mosquitoes. So we closed window and turned off the AC. And with 13 people stuck in the van, it's very hot and humid. And my baby is crying whole night. And next morning, I woke up with full of complaint. What is this? I complained to my pastor. Why my pastor sent me such a, this kind of, I did some curse. I cannot say these things to here, but sorry, you just to know, like, I curse. What is this? And then I start to complain to God. You told me you will give everything if I seek the kingdom first. I preached the gospel whole day yesterday, but what did you give me? Right? I got nothing. And that time, my wife came to me and said, honey, I'm very sick. You know, if you're pregnant, your body is not like before. Even though you don't get anything to eat, baby still need nutrition. So baby will take nutrition from your body. So your body will get very sick if you don't eat anything when you get pregnant. My wife, she come to me and said, honey, I'm really sick. I want to eat Korean tofu soup and Korean barbecue. You can tell my wife was Korean, right? The problem is I don't even have one penny. Where can I get those food? And I look at my son and I start to fear. My son, he was born with a lung issue. And until that day, he was 8 months old. He had to go to emergency 5 times. And 2 times, he was and very dangerous because he wasn't able to breathe at all. Now, as you know, the air of New York City is the worst air in the world, I guess. We stay on the street whole day and we sleep in the car, but basically we drink same air from the street. My baby, on that day, early, the morning, he started getting struggle to breathe. What I see, he was difficult to breathe. I start to fear. I thought myself, what if I lose my son here? What if something happened to my wife? I don't have any money. I don't know any people here. I don't know any place to go. It's just the second day, but I have to stay there for 1 month. What should I do? On second day, I'm sorry, but I wasn't able to focus on evangelizing at all. I was just standing on the street and worrying how to feed my family and how to like get some place to sleep and how to get medicine for my son. But I don't know anything. Whole day, I wasn't preaching the gospel and standing on the street. But I don't know what to do. Now it's evening. Actually, my pastor told us, he trained us to rely on God only. But on that day, I thought myself, faith is good, right? But I need to survive first. That was my heart. I need to survive. Then I can believe, right? If I die, how can I believe in God? I have to survive first and then believe in God. Faith is good, but I need to live. So I went to one store, and I met one owner, and I explained all our situation. So we are here. Are you Christian? He said, yes. Nice. You know what? I have a pregnant wife. She's pregnant, but we couldn't get anything to eat from the beginning, and she's sick right now. You see my son here. He is sick. We don't even have a place to sleep. We don't even have a medicine. So he asked me, so what? Oh, like, sir, my wife is sick. My baby is sick. So what? At least I need a place to sleep. So do you want to sleep in my house? Yes. And he said, get out of here. He kicked us out. I went to many stores, but we were all kicked out. I told myself, business people in New York is tough. So I went to one apartment because I thought if they accept us, we can just enter there. So I knocked the door. And one lady opened the door this much. And she asked me, who are you? With the brightest smile that I can make. Hello, we are missionary. And then she said like this, I'm not interested, and just close the door. Right, think about it. In New York, nobody wanna open the door for the stranger, especially late at night. Now I went to one church and I met one pastor and explained everything. And he told me like this, I need proof. So bring me a document of your trip, then I will let you sleep in my chapel. I was like, thank you, pastor, thank you, pastor. And I ran back to my family and our members and said, yes, we'll sleep in the chapel tonight. And everybody was like, yes. And I called my church. And we don't have any document, but they just type it. It took a little time, and they sent it to me. And I brought this document and ran back to the church. When I got back, church was already closed and pastor already left. Now, late at night, we don't have any place to go. I came back to my wife. My heart was trembling. I told my wife, honey, everybody's looking at me because I'm a pastor. Honestly, I don't know what to do. I don't see anyways. I've been trying, but nothing is working. I don't know what to do. She told me, honey, so do I. I don't know what to do, but let's pray. She and me, we kneel down and pray together. I think I never been prayed so hard like that day. I think about 30 minutes passed. God gave me one verse in the Bible. It says, Mark 11 verse 24, written, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you received, ye shall have it. God spoke to my heart through the word. Did you desire and pray for food? And I was like, yes, Korean barbecue, Korean tofu soup. We are hungry. And God told me, then believe that you already received it. He asked me, did you desire and pray for the place to sleep? Yes, my wife is sick, my baby is sick. And he told me, then you already received it. Do you know what I answered to God? Do you know what I answered to God? Do you know what I answered to God? I answered to God like this. Give me first, then I will believe. I didn't say this out orderly because I'm a pastor. I have to act like a pastor. Because everybody look at me as a pastor. But my heart, give me first. I was thinking, if I really believe they already have a sleeping place, do I need to go out and look for a sleeping place? If I really have it? No. If I really have a place to sleep, I don't need to go out and look for a sleeping place anymore. But now I have to go out and look for a sleeping place for my family because what? I don't have it. So I'm praying. Why? Because I don't have it. So I spoke to God. Give me. Why? Because I don't have it. But God spoke to me. You already received it. Where? No, God, listen to me. I'm praying. Why? Because I don't have it. So give me. He said, you already received it. No, I don't think you got it. Listen again. God, I'm praying. Why? Because I don't have it. And God spoke to me. You already received it. Why? Because you prayed. No. I need actual place. Not the word. I need place. Not the word of God. I need place. Give me. And he said, you already received it. And I stopped praying. And I just went out and looked for a sleeping place again. We've been many places. Now stores are starting to closing. I couldn't get any places. I came back to God. Don't get me wrong. It's not because I'm faithful or sincere. I am the worst in all of us here. That day, I didn't have any faith. One who sent me, he had faith, but not me. I spoke to God, why are you doing this? I came back to God because I don't have any other ways other than God. I pray, why are you doing this to me? We've been preached the gospel. What is this? You gave me nothing. I pray and pray. God gave me one other verse in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 48, verse 19, it says, I know it, my son, I know it. I spoke to God, Lord, we are really difficult. God spoke to me. Your son is sick, and he couldn't get any place to sleep, and he doesn't have any medicine. You so worry about him. Yes, Lord, what if I lose my son here? And God told me, I know it, my son, I know it. God spoke to me. You don't have any food to eat, but your wife is pregnant. You're so worried about her, right? Yes, Lord. What should I do? God spoke to me. I know it, my son, I know it. On that day, I cried from my heart. Everyone, you know what? I'm a pastor. I'm the one who preached the word, not the one who believes in the word. I've been preaching the word, something that I don't believe. How evil I am. This kind of person was the pastor of the church. On that day, I spoke to God. God, I repent. Even if I have food to eat and place to sleep, if you're telling me that you will take my son today, what can I do? Even though I have everything, but if you're telling me that you will take my son and my wife, what can I do? What can you do if God say, I will take your life today? What can you do? Nothing. I spoke to God. Lord, even if I lose my wife here, let me believe in your word. Even if I lose my son here, let me believe in your word. The life is belong to you, but let me believe in your word. If word said, I received already. Amen. I just received it. And I opened my eyes and spoke to everyone. Everyone, listen up. We just received food to eat and place to sleep. So you don't need to look for these things anymore. Get your Bible and go and preach the gospel. When you come back, I will give you these things. So we're 2x2 or 3x3, we all scattered. And me and my wife and my son, we enter one hair salon. And I met one lady, and right away I opened the Bible and started to preach. She looked at me kind of weirdly because one stranger entered and right away opened the Bible and started to preach. But she didn't cut me off. She listened to it until the end. And she asked me, are you a pastor? And I answered, I'm so shameful to say, but yes, I am. She asked me, Pastor, what do you need? And I was thinking, I need food and place to sleep. And there was some voice in my heart. You are really evil. You are really wicked. Word of God said that I already just received it, but you still don't believe it. I spoke to her, ma'am, thank you, but no thank you. We just received everything we need. And she asked me a second time, don't say that. What do you need? And I said, thank you, but no thank you. We have everything. She asked me a third time, Pastor, I'm begging you. I have to give you something, please. And I was thinking, what do I need? And I spoke to her, ma'am, if you have to give me something, we need a worship place. Then we can invite people and we can preach the gospel to them. And she said, Pastor, I'm really sorry, I don't know any church, but please follow me. She brought me to one spa, S-P-A, spa. I never thought I would go to spa because I thought spa is only for women. That day I went to spa. Inside of spa, there was a big living room that we can have meeting. And more inside, there was a big shower places that we can have take a shower. And the basement, there was 5 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms and 1 kitchen. She told me, "Pastor, I'm really sorry. I don't know any church. But as you see, this is all I have. Start from today. This is not mine. This is yours." And she gave me a store key. "Really? Yes, this is yours. Thank you. Are you sure? This is yours. Thank you very much. But are you serious? This is yours." And she gave me a store key. "You say this is mine? Yes, this is all yours. Serious? Yes. Everyone, come over here." We all 13 people enter, and 5 bedroom was more than enough for our 13 people. That night, she came to check what we were doing. She asked one of our students, "What did you eat today?" And he answered, "Nothing." "What? Since when?" "Yesterday." "What? What about you?" "Same." "What about you?" "Same." And she upset with me, "Pastor, what's wrong with this group? Give me your car key." And she brought our 15 passengers van. When she came back, our van was filled with the food. You know what that food was? Korean food. That night, we ate Korean barbecue and Korean tofu soup. Every day she come, she ask, "Pastor, what do you need?" "Oh, we have everything." "You always say that. Hey, give me your wallet. You don't have money." And she brought offering. Next day she come again, "Pastor, what do you need?" "We have everything." "Get out of here. Your son is sick." And she brought medicine. "What do you need?" I don't know. She come every day. After 1 week, God gave me one heart. And I spoke to her in the morning. "Man, we are leaving today. So I gave this key back to you." "What happened? Why are you leaving? You don't have any place to go." "We are leaving." "Why?" "Because we want to see more many things that God prepared for us. So we are leaving today. But ma'am, before we leave, I want to ask you one thing." "What is it?" "On that day, you met us. You never knew me before. Why did you give your store to someone who you never knew before?" She told me like this, "Pastor, on that day, early morning, I was praying. And when I pray, I remember one word. It says, when Jesus sent his disciple to bring donkey, he said, 'The Lord made need of it.' And I thought, oh, this is not the right time for me to read the Bible. I need to pray." But she keep remember the word. And she thought, "Maybe this is a voice from God." She keep remember, "The Lord may need it. The Lord need it. The Lord need it." So she asked God, "What do you need?" But she couldn't hear anything. "You need my money?" But no answer. "You need my life?" No answer. Whole day she was asking God, "What do you need?" But she couldn't get any answer. When the night time, she was very frustrated and she spoke to God, "Okay, God, I will give you anything you need. So just tell me." And right away, one Korean guy opened the store and started to preach the gospel. And she thought, "Oh, maybe this guy is from God." So she asked, "Pastor, what do you need?" But this guy answered, "Ma'am, thank you, but no thank you. We have everything." "Don't say that. What do you need?" "Thank you, but no thank you. We just receive everything we need." "Pastor, I'm begging you. I have to give you something. Please." "That I need worship place." "Pastor, I don't know any church, but this is all I have. Start from today. This is not mine. This is all yours." Everyone, you know what? In the trip, I thought, what I need is food. Because my wife is pregnant. Because we are hungry. So I pray for food. But God gave me the word. No. God, I need food, not the word. But God gave me the word. I really hate it that time. I thought what I need is a place to sleep and medicine for my son. So I pray for those things, but God gave me the word. No, I need a place, but God gave me the word. That day, God teach me one thing, that I am wrong. He is right. He is always right, and I'm always wrong. Right? Yes. You guys are always wrong. Did you know that? You guys are all liar. You know, I don't lie to you a lot. You lie to yourself most many times. This year, I'm gonna read the Bible more. You lie to you all the time. Right? We all liar. Who is the truth? Only God can be truth. We are all liar, but God is truth. That day God taught me, what I need is not food. The things that I need for my son is not medicine. You know, my son was 8 months old back then. Now my son is 4 years and 10 months, something like that. Start from that day until today, my son never have a lung issue. My son, my God healed my son on that day completely. Everyone, when my son is sick, what I need is faith. When I'm struggling with finance, what I need is not the money. What I need is faith. In our spiritual life, most important thing is what? Faith. And faith is from hearing the word of God. Today, I read John chapter 8. Let's put this story aside and let's go to John chapter 8 and talk about this. Here, there was a woman who caught in the very acting adultery, right? This woman, can any lady help me, please, as a volunteer? Yes, could you come here? Yeah, thank you. Okay, this woman was caught in the very acting adultery. Okay, what did you do?
What did you do?
What did I do?
Yeah.
I committed adultery.
Yeah, she committed adultery, okay?
This is not the truth, but let's say she committed adultery, okay?
Okay.
Yes. Yes. So this is dirty woman, all right? I'm sorry, this is not true, but let's say. This
is pretending to be dirty.
Yeah, this is dirty woman, okay? And she committed adultery. She's a lustful woman, all right? In her heart. Her heart was filled with the lust. Think about it. Do you think she committed adultery? Do you think she wanted to commit adultery? Do you think she wanted to have this kind of life? When she was young, she was walking with mom. Mom, what is that stone tomb? What is that stone? Don't even look at that. That's dirty woman. No, that's just a stone. No, she committed adultery, and according to the law of Moses, people stoned her, and that becomes stone tomb. So that's dirty woman. As a Jew, she been seen stone tomb several times. Do you think she wanted to become like that? No. The thing is, let's say, what is your name?
Cheryl.
Cheryl. Yeah. Okay, there's Cheryl here. There's Cheryl here. Can you give me your hand just a little? Okay. Here. Let's say I am lost. What is this? Lost. And now, she try to go that way, okay? And I try to put her this way, okay? What do you think? Where she will go? Huh? She will try to go that way, and I will try to put her that way. Where she will go? You know the right answer is? She will go to the stronger side. If she is stronger, even though I'm pulling her that side, she will go that way, right? If I am stronger, no matter how hard she try, she will be dragged by this lust. Okay, let's do it. You try to go that way.
Cheryl.
This is how it works in your heart. No matter how hard you try, there's nobody who can overcome sin here. That's why the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? Yes, there's nobody who can overcome sin, right? So let's say she committed adultery. According to the law, she has to die, right? Now people were excited to kill Jesus. Today, who got Jesus? Why? Now people made a plan to accuse him. Now people ask Jesus, "Hey Jesus, this woman, she was caught by the very act in adultery. According to the law of Moses, we have to stone her and kill her. What would you say?" If Jesus say, "Oh, don't kill her. She's so beautiful. You repent, okay? Don't kill her." If Jesus say like this, people will say, "Hey, you say you're son of God, but you are against the law of God. You are a liar. Kill him." Right? But let's say if Jesus say, "Okay, kill her according to the law." And people will say, "Hey, you say you are savior for sinner, but you couldn't save her. You are a liar." So they will kill Jesus, right? So Jesus cannot say, "Kill her or don't kill her." Jesus cannot say yes or no. So people were excited. Today, finally, we got Jesus. How stupid they are. How stupid they are. As a miserable human being, they try to put the trap to mighty Jesus Christ, Son of God, who is our Lord. How stupid they are. In their mind, they have only two options. Say yes or no. Right. But Jesus, he always have third answer, fourth answer, fifth answer, millions answer, right? He always have a third way, fourth way, millions ways, right? Now, Jesus, he stood down and he wrote down something on the ground. Anybody know what Jesus wrote on the ground? Anybody wrote? Anybody knows? He didn't say anything, but he wrote down something on the ground with his own finger. This is what I want to preach today. He wrote down something on the ground. What did he write down on the ground? Now, Jesus, he need to save her, right? He need to save her. But when he searched all the laws, there's no law can save this woman, right? So Jesus, he's writing something on the ground with his own finger. What did he write? Today, this is what I want to preach. Okay, now you can have a seat. Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, she didn't commit adultery, okay? Yeah. She didn't commit adultery. Yeah, maybe she commit adultery in her heart. Not physically. I commit adultery in my heart many times. One day, I was driving with my wife. In the summertime, I saw one lady was passing with very light clothes. And my eyes automatically follow. So evil. Oh, so evil. And my wife said, "Honey, what are you looking at?" Oh, I forgot my wife was next to me and said, "Oh, isn't that car awesome?" That's adultery, right? That's adultery. Let's say, this woman, she caught in the very act in adultery. She actually did it. According to the law, she has to die. Anybody knows how many laws in the Bible? In the law of Moses. Well, how many? 13. Yes, 613 laws. Right? Yes. And according to the law, none of you can go to heaven. Do you know that? According to the law, the woman shouldn't cut your hair. If you cut your hair, you have to put the veil on your head. According to the law, hellfire. According to the law, man, you shouldn't shave your beard. I see your face is very clean today. All right. but hell. According to the law, you shouldn't wear the clothes two different colors mixed. Hell. According to the law, how many of you have tried a pork before? Hell, 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 hell. Right? According to the law, who say thank you, Jesus? Still hell. You know what? Me, Peter, I'll be first rule to go to hell. And you guys will follow me. According to the law. Right? According to the law, none of us can be saved. Do you know why God gave us the law? Then why God gave us the law? Something we cannot keep it. If God, yes.
We're asking to show us how much we need him.
Yes. Correct. Anyone else? Anyone else? Any answer? Why God gave us the law? It's good for you to say wrong answer. Then I can say something. If you say right answer, I have nothing to preach today. So anything you can to make us good. All right, good. And what is? Guide us. Good. What is? Yes, to keep us his protection, right? Yes. Uh-huh. Right. Yes. The purpose of the law is not for us to keep it. If God wants us to keep it, he would give something that we can keep it. No matter how hard you try, you can never keep all the law. Bible says if you break just even one law, out of whole the law, it's same as what? You break whole laws. Right? So why Bible say, don't lie? Why? Because you already lie. If you didn't lie, I don't need to say, don't lie. Why I say don't lie? Because you already lie. Then it means you already broke the law. There's no hope in the law. Do you know why God gave us the law? It's written Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Romans chapter 3, let's open Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. It says, now we know that what things soever the law said is said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Think about it. This woman, she caught in the very act in adultery. She broke the law. At that moment, can she say, but at least I love Jesus. I go to church every day. Yesterday, I gave a lot of offering. Can she say this? No. Then people will say, according to the law, stop your mouth. In good words, stop your mouth. In bad words, shut something. Right. This is what the law say. When we try to say good thing from us, you know what? I have some good. And the law will say, you broke this law. You broke this law. You broke this law. Why? Verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Something like X-ray. Doesn't treat you, but shows you what you have in you. Before the law came down, you didn't know whether you had a sin or not because you judge yourself with your own standard. Right? According to your standard, you're good. But God gave his standard, which is too perfect. No matter how hard you try, you can never reach there. Then you realize, I have sinned. With my works, I can never go to heaven. With my deeds, I can never go to heaven. I need a Savior who can save me from my sin. I need his works. This is purpose of the law. The law is schoolmaster to bring us to the Christ. The law, purpose of the law is for you to realize you need Jesus Christ. And he is the only way. That's the purpose of the law. Here, Jesus, he was thinking, how can I save her? In the BC 1491, there was a servant of God named Moses. He got this law at the Mount Sinai. When God gave the law to Moses, you know what God did? He wrote the law on the two tablets of stone with his own finger. Right? Yes. And we say that's covenant. Why is that covenant? Because God and Israel people made a covenant with the law. So this is first covenant. God said, if you break the law, wherever you go, whatever you do, I will curse you. If you keep the law, wherever you go, whatever you do, I will bless you. And people say, yes, we will keep the law. On the day the law come, 3,000 people die because they broke the law. But they say, we can do it, we can do it. Everybody in the wilderness, they die except Joshua and Caleb. From that day, people start keep dying because they broke the law. Right? This is first covenant. The law of Moses. According to the law of Moses, this woman can never be saved. So now Jesus, he need new law. Right? Jesus need new covenant to save her. Let's open Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, I'll read it. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. God said, when the days come, I will make new covenant. Right? Verse 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand of bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant did break, although I was husband unto them, saith the Lord. So this new covenant will be not the same from the first covenant, which is the law of Moses. The law of Moses, if you do well, you are blessed. If you don't do well, you are cursed. That all depends on how you are. That's first covenant. But this new covenant will not the same from the first covenant. Verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their inward part and write it in their heart, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So first covenant, I wrote down this first covenant on the stone. But even though there is the law, but there's no heart that you can keep this law. So you are under the curse. But this new covenant, God said, I will put this new covenant into your heart and I write them in your mind. So from your heart, you want to love God. From your heart, you want to serve God. Right? Yeah. And verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Here, let's read all together what is new covenant. This is new covenant. Ready to start? For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. God said, when the days come, I will make a new covenant. First covenant, that was all depends on how you are. But this second covenant will be not the same. This second covenant, new covenant is, for I forgive your iniquities, and I will remember your sin no more. What is your name?
Dana.
Sorry?
Dana.
Dana. The new covenant is, for I forgive Dana's iniquities. I remember Dana's sins no more. What is his name?
Jonas.
For I forgive Jonas' iniquities. I remember Jonas' sin no more. What is your name?
Cindy.
For I forgive Cindy's iniquity. I remember Cindy's sins no more. For how long?
Forever.
Amen? Amen? Forever. This is new covenant.
Yes.
Now Jesus, he stood down and he wrote down, for I forgive this woman. I remember this sins no more. There's two verses in the Bible God himself used his finger. First, he established first covenant with his own finger. Second, Son of God, Jesus Christ, is establishing new covenant. Jesus said, where is your accusers? No man, Lord. Jesus, when he saw everybody left, he stood out again and he wrote down one more time. Do you know why he wrote down twice? Do you know why he wrote down twice on the ground? Because God, he wrote down first covenant twice with his own finger. First time God wrote down and Moses brought it and he saw people breaking the law. So he was shocked and he prayed and he broke the law. And he went up to Mount Sinai again and God, he wrote down 10 covenants one more time. Now Jesus, he's writing down new covenant. For I forgive your iniquities. I remember your sins no more. Let's open Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. I'll read it. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their mind will I write them. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 18, there's a reason why God doesn't remember our sin no more. Now where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. First covenant was established through Moses. But new covenant God established through the blood of Jesus Christ. By one offering, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. The reason why God doesn't remember our sin, because blood of Jesus washed all your sins for how long?
Forever.
So your sins are washed for how long?
Forever.
Not only until today. Not only until tomorrow. If Jesus was able to wash your past sin but not for tomorrow, how can he wash your sin who is living in the future? When Jesus looked at you, you are in the future because he was 2,000 years ago. Jesus, he washed all your sins eternally. Let me finish with this story. Let me finish a sermon with one story. Have you heard about Hyundai company? Hyundai car. Hyundai, right? That's from Korea. You know, founder of Hyundai, his name is Jung. Jung Ju-young, but let's say Jung. You know, people call him King Chairman because he has a lot of chairmen in his group. So people call him, he's a King Chairman. One day, can you help me? He was walking in front of the building, and there was one employee was cleaning. Clean. Okay. There was one employee was cleaning. Do you think he's in a high position or low position?
Low.
Right? Because he's cleaning right now. Right. And now King Chairman Jung was passing, and he saw him. This is a real story. All right? And he wanted to encourage him. And look at his name. His name was Kim. King Chairman Jung told him, "Hey, Director Kim, you're doing good job." Do you know what he said? "Sir, I'm sorry, but I'm not a director. I'm a new employee. I just employed 2 weeks ago. I don't even know what director is doing." Right? Do you know what this King Chairman told him? He said like this: "In here, Hyundai, if I call you director, you are director." You know what happened to him? He became director on that day. This is a real story. In Hyundai, the word of King Chairman has power to make somebody to be a director. Right? Let me ask you, who is the King Chairman of whole world? Jesus, our God. Right? Who is the founder of whole world? Yes, Jesus, our God. Right? In Romans chapter 8, verse 34 said, "It is God who justified us." Yes, amen? Yes. Amen. It is God who calls you righteous. Yes, it is God who calls you are just. It is God who calls you are perfect. It is God who calls you have no sin. It is God calls you are clean as white as snow. Yes. It is God who calls you are washed. If God says you are washed, then you are washed. If God calls you are righteous. You are righteous. Amen. No matter how you feel, no matter how you see. "Oh, but Lord, I'm not qualified to be righteous. Still, I have many sins." If God says your sins are washed, you don't have sin.
Amen.
Even if you feel it, even if you see it, truth is the word of God. And word of God said, you are washed. You are clean as white as snow. Yes. You do not have sin. But you are righteous.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen?
Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, "But you are washed." Yes. It didn't say you will be washed one day. Yes. "But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." If God calls you are righteous. You are righteous. Even though you don't see it, what God said is true. I spoke to God, "I don't have food. I don't have a place." If God said, "You already have it." Do I have it or not?
You have it.
I have it. "Oh, Lord, I'm not good at preaching the gospel. I have many dirty things. I'm not really righteous." If God say you are righteous, that's who you are.
Amen.
If God say, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, "By one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified." Then are you perfect or not?
Yes.
If you look at you with your eyes, you are not perfect. But Bible said, by one offering, Jesus Christ, he had perfected you for how long? Forever, them that are sanctified. That's who you are. You are perfect forever by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all you need. Blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only the way for you to get to heaven. That's the only the way for you to be blessed. Not with your condition. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you have all the condition to be blessed. And this is what Bible telling us. Second covenant, new covenant, it's not depend on how you are. Second covenant is depend on what Jesus Christ has done for us. New covenant is all about Jesus Christ, not us. Through Jesus Christ, we are righteous. Don't try to see it. If Bible say it, just believe it. That's the fact. Let me finish until here. Oh, you can. Thank you very much. And now I have some video that I want to show you. We have a Christmas cantata Have you heard about it? Gracias Christmas Cantata at Colosseum. Is there anyone who attended before? Not yet, right? This time I want to invite all of you. Some of us may say, Christmas in September is kind of a little early, right? But true meaning of Christmas is the birth of Christ. Anytime Jesus can be born in somebody's heart. That's true meaning of Christmas, right? Yes. So we bring this message, the Christmas, which is the gospel, to cities to city. And we are coming in this city at Colosseum, September 18th. So I want to show you this video. And then... this is something like a Broadway musical.
Christmas Cantata is a musical concert that will see a handful of Christmas performances, including the world-renowned Gracias Choir.
Joined now by Mark Lee and Luis Suarez with the International Youth Fellowship. They're here to talk about the upcoming Christmas Cantata.
Gracias, Niurma, y volvemos contigo más adelante. Pero como decías, con la llegada de la nieve también llegan otra serie de actividades, las fiestas de Navidad.
3D Project. First thing is opera, not the birth of Christ. Second act is kind of like family musical. Third act is an orchestra with choir. They will sing Handel's Oratorio Messiah. So they reward first Christ from the choral competition in Germany, Italy, and Switzerland. They are officially world best choir. They are going to come here and perform as a free admission. Everything is free of charge. Everything is free of charge.
The true meaning of Christmas. So that really, I mean, I cried the whole time. I was so touched.
Did you like it?
Yeah, she loved it too.
All of it in its entirety was just amazing. I'm so thrilled. It just brought me to tears.
Go see the cantata.
They're great.
Well, we have been to many, many shows over our lifetime, and this is one of the most fantastic we have ever seen.
I mean, this is at the highest level you can take it. I felt like I was on Broadway having a Hollywood show.
Yes, thank you for coming. It was beautiful. That's all I can say.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Feliz Navidad!
Yeah. So not the United Palace, but we will be at the Colosseum, September 18th. And first act is the opera about birth of Christ. And then between first act and second act, we trained little children, like 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, those children. We practiced them 2 months. And little Santa will perform some dances. People really like it. And second act is a kind of family musical of the Christmas day. One little girl, Anna, she was full of complaint all the time, and she said, I hope every one of you just disappear. And next morning when she woke up, really everybody disappeared. And she was woke up in the kind of terrible family, and she got a like really hard time. And then when she was in the really hard time, she started to remember how much her father loved her unconditionally. Even though she was always complaining how much her parents loved her all the time, she started to remember love of family. And then later on, it's a happy ending. So we found this story from the prodigal son. We try to show the love of God through the love of family. So many people, they cry when they see this. And third act, between second act and third act, there will be one preacher come out, and he will preach the gospel. Then how Jesus can be born in our people's heart. And third act, there will be a choir with the orchestra. You will be able to hear a world-best hallelujah. They will sing Handel's Oratorio Messiah, and there will be some carol song and some like encore songs. And through this, we try to bring true message of Christmas. You know, like, the woman who caught in the very act in adultery, when she commit adultery, her heart was filled with the lust, right? But when she commit, when she was caught by people, her heart was filled with the fear, right? But when she met Jesus, her heart was filled with the happiness, thankfulness. You know what? I have such a tiny belly, right? But I still have a strong faith about Korean chicken is the world's best chicken. I guarantee. You know what? I really love Korean chicken. One day, my wife, she cooked some like soup. It was really delicious, not as much as Korean chicken. It was really delicious, so I finished 3 bowls. Can you imagine in this tiny belly, I ate 3 bowls. I was full. And that moment, one brother brought Korean chicken. I was so sad. I love Korean chicken. The thing is, there's no more space in my belly can enter. Same thing. This woman, she's lustful woman. But now, there's no more space. The lust can enter in the heart because Jesus filled her heart with the thankfulness and the love and happiness. Amen. There's no more space. The fear can enter in her heart. Amen. That's what we want to do. We don't need to tell them stop what they're doing, but we just fill their heart with the love of God. Then from their heart, they want to give everything for God. Amen. They want to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is how our Gracious Choir is doing. Through this Gracious Choir, Gracious Christmas Cantata, we fill people's heart with thankfulness through the love of Jesus, love of God, by the salvation and the gospel. So we are inviting all churches and all the communities. It's a free admission. We brought tickets. It's a free ticket. You just take it as much as you want. And you may have some like neighbor or family or friends that you want to evangelize. But if when you say, hey, let's go to church, some may say, Christmas musical, and I have a ticket for you. And then you bring them. All right. And then you invite your people to the Christmas Cantata. We will present love of God through this gospel. And then when they like it, you can guide them to your church. So we have a hope. God will change this nation with the gospel. For this, God doesn't want to use a politician or a government. He wants to use his churches. So we believe through this church, many will be saved and many will be changed. So I'm really happy to see you all of you today. And God bless you all. And one more thing. Here is a first come, first serve. So you have to come a little early, all right, in order for you to get good seat. But 4 p.m., we have a VIP reception. We are inviting all Christian leaders as our VIP guest at 4 p.m. So we have RSVP. You just tell pastor that if you want to come, even though you are not a leader, just to tell him, pastor, I will be a leader in this church. Just come. Pastor, I will be a leader. I will lead many people. So let me go with you at the VIP reception. Just to tell him. And then pastor will give me the name of the people who will come to the reception, 4 p.m. We have some special program for the VIP reception. And we provide some like a meal. And everything is free. Just to let us know how many people are coming. Then we can prepare for you. And for the VIPs, we reserved your seat in the best spot. So you can just let your pastor know. If you want to come to the VIP reception, we will reserve your seat in the best spot. And we serve some meal and we have some program for VIP. Start from 4 p.m. at the same venue at Colosseum. Well, thank you very much and God bless you all.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Wasn't that great? So I want to close this part of the service instead of doing our small groups, but I do want you to pick up your bulletin right now and just take a look at it. Because I feel like one of the things that God sent Pastor Peter to do here in our service this morning is to challenge us to another level of faith. Now, if we did the small groups, you'd have an opportunity to look at that scripture that God spoke to his heart, Mark 11:24. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And then in the observation is, when you don't see the answer immediately, what is the first thing you do? And when do you believe? When are you going to believe? Are you going to wait till you see? Are you going to wait till you have? Or are you going to believe when you pray? And then the application is, and this is what I really want you to do for this week, what specific prayer item will you apply this principle this week? Because if we walk out of here today and we just say, wasn't that a nice message that Pastor Peter came all the way from Boston to give us? And then we go be the same as we were last week and the week before and the week after that. Then why did we come this morning? But if we came to be challenged by the Holy Spirit to really believe what we preach, to really believe what you tell those people out in the street when you go out and you share the wristbands and the cards and you share the gospel with them, and you say you believe, but you don't really believe, then we're just like the condition that Pastor Peter described of his own walk into this new revelation. I guess you would call it, maybe it wasn't a new revelation, but maybe that revelation isn't in your heart yet. So I want to challenge you to, even though we're not going to do the small group right now, that you at least spend some time today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, thinking about this scripture and how you can apply it to your life. Because the reality is, Jesus did not say that we're supposed to believe that we have received when we see the results. Jesus said that we have to believe that we have received when we pray, because that's what praying in faith is about. Waiting to believe until you receive is not faith. Faith is believing God regardless of how the things look around you. And I'm pretty sure that all of us have some places in life where we're looking around at those things instead of looking at the Word of God. And when we do that, we get off course and we're like the lust that was pulling the woman away. We get pulled off of the course and we miss the place in God that He has for us. But as Christians, we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. So now if we say you must go to Cuba or you must go to China or you must go to Africa or you must go to Vietnam with us somewhere, or maybe to North Korea, then maybe you get sent with nothing. And you just have to trust God and believe God. Or maybe you're saying to yourself, yes, I would like to go to all those places or some of those places or one of those places. I would like to go on a mission trip, but I don't have. But all the while, Jesus is saying, just pray and believe you have received and you will have. So maybe you think, well, I can't do that because I'm too old or I'm too young or I'm too this or too that or too busy or I have my job and so forth. But if Jesus is calling you to do that, then what are you going to say? How are you going to answer him the day when you meet him? So you can always depend on him. He will never let you down. He will always do what he says he would do. And according to his own words, we will receive from him when we believe. So maybe we should learn the lesson early and apply it right away, not someday. Because too many times We've sat in church services. We've sat in meetings. We've heard the word of God. We've heard the gospel, and somebody's challenged us to do something, and we'll say, yeah, someday I will do that. One day I will do that. But we never get to that day. So today I want to challenge you. Make today the day. And you say yes to Jesus. I believe. I receive. And Holy Spirit, renew my mind to this kind of thinking. Help me to think this way and not that way. Help me to believe in this way. You know, there was a father in the Bible, and I'll close with this. There was a father in the Bible who was desperate for his son to get a healing. And he said to Jesus, your disciples couldn't help me, but if you can do anything, just help me. And he was angry, frustrated, because nothing was happening for his son. But Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And the man's response is interesting because it didn't sound like very much faith. He just said, Lord, I believe. Oh, help my unbelief. But it was enough faith to get his son healed. Not very much, but enough. So maybe you're at that place today where you're struggling with believing or struggling with it. God didn't mean for it to be a struggle. He meant it for to be a surrender. So if Jesus is speaking to you today, just close your eyes. I want to pray for you before we receive our offerings this morning. Father, we've all found ourselves in places like this, somehow, somewhere, where we're trying desperately to get something that we need. And it looks like the answer is impossible, unreachable. And it looks, seems maybe that you're far away and not hearing our prayer. But all the while you're there, you're in that place saying, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. Just like you spoke to another father whose daughter was dying. So, Father, we come to you in surrender today. And we ask you through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would change our thinking. And that you will cause the believing that's begun in our hearts to grow through hearing your word, through receiving your word, and through walking it out day by day and week by week. Thank you, Father, for the grace that you sent through the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from sin and to put our past in the past so that you remember it no more and we don't need to remember it either. But that we can step into our future with confidence that you will never let us down. You'll always be with us. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price for that new covenant so that we could do exactly that. Thank you for taking us into our future, starting today. And as we step into that future, thank you for new opportunities to share your gospel, Lord, with those who are lost and hurting and need. Thank you, Father, for bringing Pastor Peter to this city and for bringing his group to this city. We ask you to bless him, Father. We ask you to provide his needs met according to your riches and glory as you've so already demonstrated you're doing. And we thank you, Father, for their gift to this city. And we ask you, Lord, for many souls to come to you, Lord, through this event. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your mercy on Fort Wayne, Indiana. We bless you and honor you in the name of your son, Jesus, who died to make it all possible. Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody say.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.